This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the preview show brought to you by the Known and Ever podcast. We start this week's episode with the sad news that Burnley legend, our Taffy, Leighton James, sadly passed away this afternoon. Our thoughts and prayers are with the whole of his family at this very sad time. And we will, in a future episode, pay tribute to the legend himself. But for the time being, we do send our deepest condolences to Taffy's family. I'm your host, Natalie Bromley, and joining me in this week's preview show is the main man himself, the host of the preview show, the brains behind the operation. It is, of course, Dave Statman Roberts. And we are joined as well for backup analysis by everyone's favourite 1938 squadron leader, George Poole. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Dave. George, what are you going to do? That tash, for the love of God, how long is it staying? Yeah, we can't hear you, George. Get off mute. Honestly, listeners, this is the level of professionalism that me and Dave have to work for. We bring him on and we can't even hear him. We're going to let George go. Oh, he's here. Go on, carry on.
Let's say you buy a professional microphone and then the laptop lets you down. But what I was trying to say before I was rudely interrupted was that for every month, for every complaint I get from yourself, I'll add another month to the moustache's tenure.
Why is this? I don't think you've ever told us what on earth you're doing it for. Because Movember was a long time.
Yeah, but then everyone loved it. So then I just had to listen to the people.
Who are these people that you claim love? No. Okay. Listeners, it's an impressive tash. Anyway, we move on. Dave, sad news coming out of the Clarets family today. Leighton James passed away. Incredible player for Burnley. And we're hoping to pay tribute to him later on. I think it's always sad when our legends pass away, but that's a particular sad one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he spent a long time at Burnley Football Club, started out as a youth team player, actually had four spells at the club. He was there as a youth team player, came back again, and then he was let go and then came back again. So he played almost for 20 years between 1970 and 1989. He was obviously there for the Orient game. So, it's one of those things. It's really, really sad. And sadly, a lot of our legends are leaving us. He was only 71. I think he had quite a few health problems. It's really, really sad. Really
yeah, sad. It is. Poor Gemma. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, it would be remiss of me not to mention, but for in terms of a small tribute for now, but my dad messaged saying that my dad used to do window cleaning around Paddington, and he said, Leighton James lived around there and always stopped for a chat and was a really nice guy.
Aww,
so,
yeah, how lovely.
Very, very sad news.
Definitely. I think we're going to hear a lot of stories of our Taffy over the next couple of weeks. So listeners, if you've got any particular tributes that you'd like to pass on or you want to share in our little tribute to him, then do send us the usual channels and we'll make sure to include you on the show. Dave, it is, of course, the preview show. It's the Wooden Spoon fixture this coming Saturday, 20th of April. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff at Sheffield United. Not televised anywhere in the UK. Surprise, surprise.
Its proper name.
Say that again, sorry.
You haven't given it its proper name.
The Wooden Spoon Derby?
No, El Crapico.
I wondered where on earth you were going with that then, Dave. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a classic, but we're going to persevere, listeners, because you know what? We don't want to finish last. We want to finish above. And actually, the club seem to be absolutely convinced that they are still going to survive, which, bless them, I do admire optimism from the club until mathematics is possible, but I do wonder at what point when you need to start worrying about our chairman and board about just how relentless his optimism is going to be. Dave, before you get into the match stats, you've got a couple of quick stats about our last match, I believe, before we preview our game. What's this all about?
I think you've missed Stat of the Week, haven't you? So
I've
brought it back temporarily, but it's a couple of two. There's two of them, and they relate to our previous game rather than the next one. So now's a good time to cover them off before we get into the meat of the Sheffield match. Snippets of information for you are the 1-1 draw against Brighton was Burnley's 250th 1-1 draw in a top-flight match. That's more than 10%, as we've played a total of 2,319 matches in the top flight since 1888. Yes, I am counting them all. none of the Burnley players who were given the 1-11 shirts at the start of the season were in our starting lineup. You may have noticed that when the teams came out on Saturday or were announced. But the aggregate of the shirt numbers for our starting 11, which was 303, was also a club record high. Because, again, I've gone back and checked.
No, there you go. See, this is what happened, listeners. I just throw a tantrum and I get my own way. And then Dave just concedes and brings back Stat of the Week. They're good stats, those are, Dave. Thank you. Well, let's move on. We actually do have a match to preview. It's the key one. George, before we go into the stats, El Crapico, is that fair, do we think? We'll come on to this a bit more in more detail. Do you think that's a fair summary?
No, I don't think so. I think we're better than that, to be fair. And look, if we win tomorrow, who's to say we can't go on a little bit of a run and
Oh, my God. Okay, Dave, get us out of this nonsense before we set George off. Please, can you bring us our match results summary, please?
Looking back at our past league results against the Blades at Bramall Lane, it does very much give the impression of this being one of Burnley's bogey grounds. Just 5 wins from well over 50 visits and just 1 victory in the last 20 attempts over a period of 50 years tell their own story. Our overall record is played 57, won 5, drawn 17 and lost 35. With just 43 goals scored and 112 conceded. Out of those 57 previous seasons together, 36 were in the top flight, making this season the 37th, and our only 2 away trips to Bramall Lane in the Premier League have ended in defeat, 3-0 in November 2019 and 1-0 in a match towards the end of the 2021 campaign. That was in May 2021, although there were no Burnley fans there to see that one. There were 5,000... Sheffield United fans who were allowed in. Our visit to Bramall Lane last season started off reasonably well. We had a 2-1 lead at half-time, but we went on to lose 5-2. And that was just 1 of 3 league losses we experienced on the way to winning the championship title. Of course, past performance is not necessarily a meaningful guide to future results. I sound like someone giving out financial advice, don't I? But you can't help but think that it's going to be yet another tough match on the road in South Yorkshire this weekend.
Yeah, definitely will be. Definitely will be. Dave, next up then, please. Our favourite feature. What's our second favourite feature? That is our one to remember and one to forget. Our past match retrospective selects 2 of our previous meetings that were memorable for very different reasons. As usual, we're going to kick off with our one to forget, please.
Okay, something we've mentioned in past previews is our biggest defeat at Bramall Lane, which was by a 10-0 scoreline. Yep. That was way back in January 1929. But for our one to forget, we're going to revisit a more recent meeting, which took place in April 2001. Following promotion back to the second tier under Stan Ternent, we had a promising first season back at this level. And we're on the fringes of the playoffs places for much of the campaign. Our last 2 matches were away at Sheffield United and at home to Watford. And we really needed a positive result in South Yorkshire to give ourselves a fighting chance of a place in the top 6 when the season concluded at Turf Moor the following weekend. However, as has often been the case over the years, we were unable to get the result we needed at Bramall Lane, with 2,752 away fans present to see our, including me, I remember going to this one, present to see our playoff hopes disappear. The home side were awarded a penalty after 21 minutes for a push on Peter Unlove by Mitchell Thomas. And although Burnley keeper Nick McCoppler saved the initial spot kick from Paul Devlin, the rebound was eventually put in by Peter Unlove. Although Burnley huffed and puffed, but despite all our efforts, we were unable to score a goal to get ourselves back into the game. And after 87 minutes, Kevin Ball was sent off after picking up a second yellow card.
Of course he was.
United finished things off with a second goal just 2 minutes later when Carlos Saba broke away and made it 2-0 to the home side.
And what about our one to remember then, please? Let's finish on a high.
Yeah, with only one win at Bramall Lane from our previous 20 visits, the one to remember almost picks itself. We're going back to the 2008-2009 season, and it was the 9th of December 2008 when Owen Coyle's Clarets arrived at Bramall Lane, missing three key players, Clark Carlisle, Chris McCann and Jay Rodriguez. It got worse when the players came out to warm up, and there was no Michael Duff there either. In the end, a patched-up defence included Wade Elliott at right-back, but Burnley got off to a good start and took the lead through Martin Patterson in the 19th minute. The home side levelled the scores after Brian Jensen was deemed to have fouled Billy Sharp in the box and James Beattie put away the resulting spot kick. And then we got our penalty of our own, as Chris Eagles was brought down and the ever-reliable Graham Alexander put away the spot kick just before half-time to give us a 2-1 lead. The score stayed that way until there were just over 10 minutes remaining, and Chris Eagles took on and beat two defenders before finishing with a low shot past Paddy Kenny and just outside the box. Although Stephen Quinn pulled one back in the 87th minute from a well-taken free kick, we held on for a 3-2 victory, which was the first time we'd won at Bramall Lane since the opening match of the 1973-74 season, which was also our last top-flight victory at the ground.
Hmm, interesting stuff. Opposition view. We do have a Sheffield United fan to speak to this week, listeners, to give us their views ahead of the game. We spoke to Red Half of Sheffield and got their thoughts.
Hey guys, I am Chad from the Red Half of Sheffield, here to preview Sheffield United's inevitable defeat to Burnley this Saturday at Bramall Lane. I guess we'll get into it. Sheffield United's season as a whole has been abysmal. Been down since about, been in the second division since match day one. It's just been a disaster of a season, but that's what happens when you sell your two best players 2 weeks before the season. And it's just been compounded on. It's probably been, if not as bad as Burnley has had, much worse. You know, as you guys can tell, the reverse fixture was a 5-0 Burnley drubbing at Turf Moor. I think we were trying to get Paul Heckingbottom out of a job then. I wasn't in favor of it, but hey, look, it worked. And did it improve our fortunes? Not whatsoever. So, yeah, six games left, waiting to get back into the second division, the best division in all of football. So, I guess I'll move it on to what we can expect on Saturday at Bramall Lane. I'm hoping this game is an advert for the championship in the Premier League, meaning that I hope it's kind of an end-to-end game, a box-to-box game. You know, hopefully both teams take their chances like this game last year in the championship, albeit Burnley came on the losing end. I hope it's something similar to that. Although you guys are probably thinking I'm going to project a Sheffield United win. I'm not that type of person that's a homer. I'm more of a realist, and that in turn tends to make me a pessimist. As far as Saturday, you'll have to watch out for Ollie McBurnie and Ben Burton Diaz. you'll be able to tear our back line apart like you did in the reverse fixture. Gus Hema and James McAtee maybe in the midfield might slow you down, but I doubt it. I think when this thing goes full time, I don't think either side wins it. Although, I guess Burnley, in a sense, kind of would need it because they want to have a chance to stay up. But I, at the end of the day, I think this ends probably 2-2. I hope it's a lot of goals for both sides. An entertaining game, because the last thing I want in the bottom of the bottom of the barrel derby is a 0-0 or 1-0 win either side of, you know, Burnley or Sheffield United. Hopefully it's an entertaining one. But yeah, I will leave you with, see you guys in the championship next year and up the Blades.
And back to you, Dave. Referee, late change. What's going on with the referee?
Well, yes, there has been a late change. It's recently come to light there's been a change of referee. We've been expecting to see Anthony Taylor of Withenshaw in the middle on Saturday, who, coincidentally, was the referee for Burnley's only win at Bramall Lane in the last 20 attempts. That would have made quite a good story, but no, they've ruined it. They've changed the referee. And it seems like the PGMOL have decided that Anthony Taylor isn't the referee of the game. Andy Madley now, who'd originally been appointed as the VAR, will now referee the match. And it's been the first time he's taken charge of a Burnley match this season. We've had 5 wins, 3 draws and just 1 defeat in the 9 previous occasions he's been in charge. They were between 2012 and 2021. No red cards were shown and the yellow card count stands at 10 to Burnley players and 16 to our opponents. Andy Madley's replacement as the video assistant referee will be Tim Robinson. Although he's been the referee for 6 of our matches in the past, we haven't had the benefit of his expertise in the VAR booth before this weekend.
Let's hope that we can actually, for the first time this season, get ourselves a decent set of referees and fourth officials, because it is getting borderline ridiculous now, the amount of decisions that are going against us this season. Okay, George, you've been waiting patiently listening to good old Dave's stats. Not one for the purists tomorrow, I would suggest. How are you feeling ahead of this game? Is there anything about this game that we can get excited about, essentially?
Yeah, I think it'll be... There's excitement in the fact that we could actually win tomorrow, as opposed to most of our games this season, probably go into it expecting to be on the losing side. Also, it's a little bit of a little teaser for the Championship next season. Obviously, Sheffield United, as we now know, will be on minus 2 points for next season. But coming down alongside probably maybe Luton, Sheffield United will be one of the teams to beat in the Championship. We all know the disparity between the leagues. I think us, Sheffield United, and whoever comes down should be the 3 of the top 4 or 5 favourite teams to go back up. So it'll be a little bit of a sneak preview for next season. And it will be really interesting to see how we perform at Bramall Lane. We all know the 5-2 defeat last season was a crucial point in our campaign and led to a turning point. But for the day itself, it was a humiliation. It was embarrassing. I was watching it with my head in my hands. It was that bad. But let's see how we are. Well, probably 14, 15 months on from that now. So I'm intrigued to see the matchup of the two teams. We'll be playing in different styles, to say the least. And we're not out of this relegation fight yet.
Oh, George, come on. I mean, listen, I would be delighted. Actually, would I be delighted if we stay up? Because that's another season of VAR and struggling in the Premier League. I'm not loving the Premier League at the moment. That's another. That's just a personal opinion. But, like, we're running out of games. We're 6 points adrift. And every single time this season, we've come to that point where this is a must-win game. That's a phrase that Dave loves. And to take advantage. And like, look at the Everton game. Look at the Brighton game. Like, dominant performances against sides that we could have beaten and we just didn't have it in us. It's like, I'm genuinely interested here because I'm happy to take the criticism for this, but I've lost all hope now. I just don't see how we get out of this. Tell me what's driving this enthusiasm from you and this belief that we can still do it. It can't just be that it's not mathematically over yet. You've got to have something else.
I mean, might as well, innit? Otherwise, I can't be bothered watching any of the games. But no, in seriousness,
No, actually, that's a really good point. That is a good point. You can that to me is it. That's straight away. It's like, actually, what is the point? If you're not prepared to fight till the end until it's mathematically possible, then what are you doing? That's a really good point, George. Do
Yeah,
carry
so that's mainly where I'm at, to be fair. We have played a lot better since Mirich has come in. I know you discussed this on the podcast with Tom this week. Obviously, the two howlers in the last two games, like, absolutely fair enough. Take it on the chin. If Mirich isn't starting tomorrow, I don't think he can have too many complaints. But at the same time, people have got to appreciate we have been a lot better with Mirich in the side. And for the points that he's lost in those two games, which, by the way, isn't a valid argument, because who's to say if he didn't make that mistake that we wouldn't have conceded anyway? It's a nothing argument for me, that for the points lost because of him. You have no idea what might have happened either way. But for me, the team plays so much better because they're allowed to be 30, 20 yards further up the pitch than with Trafford playing, because they are confident in both his ability to pass out, so basically wherever he wants on the pitch, and also his ability to sweep behind that defence. So we're a much, much better team with Muric in the side, and I'll admit he makes his faults from time to time. It's just unfortunate that it's happened two games in a row. So because of that, because we're playing better, that's why I do still believe that we can win multiple games between now and the end of the season. Now, will it be enough? Probably not. In fact, definitely not. But I think there's a lot more optimism going into next season than there would have been if, theoretically, the season had ended a month or two ago. I think there's a lot more to get behind now. We see where companies trying to take this team, and we see where maybe next time, without a bit of naivety to begin with, there could be a lot of improvement in the Premier League.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I do like that. I liked that reality check here. And I think, you don't need to be cautious here. You can be quiet, open about this. The company's frustrated me at times this season with some of the things that he's talked about. But actually, with things like that, I think he's really impressive when he talks. Listeners, do let us know what your score prediction is, please. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're going to the game, do tell us what you're expecting from the game, who you want to see, how you want to see us play, and what you hope that score prediction will be. Okay, Dave, it is time. Let us not make our listeners wait any longer. It is everyone's favourite feature, celebrity fans. You've lined up for us a shortlist of Sheffield United's most impressive celebrity fans for us to judge. Very judgmental here on the Known and Ever podcast. Please let us know who made the cut and and whatever tenuous link you've put them to Sheffield United this week.
I was criticised for the selection last week for the
quite right.
But I've got another one lined up for next time we do it. So a better one.
Okay.
Right, go on. Six Sheffield United fans are starting off with a name you'll probably recognise. Sean Bean, actor. He celebrated his 65th birthday early this week. He was born in the Handsworth suburb of Sheffield. He graduated from RADA in 1983 and started out in stage productions before getting his break on TV in the early 1990s. We don't usually allow celebrities who've played for their club, but Sean Bean only did so in the role of Jimmy Muir in the 1996 film When Saturday Comes. I think we can make an exception this time. I'll hope you'll agree.
Yeah, Dave, just stop. Stop manufacturing this. When you said to me, we don't normally allow, you just do what you want because you just change the rules whenever you feel like it. So I just go with whatever you tell me. So if you're now saying he played for him and he can now be a celebrity fan, then you do that. You do that.
He played a player in a film, so it's not playing for them, is it really?
Well, anyway, let's move on.
And he's got a Blades tattoo as well, apparently.
Well, that's a good category. Okay, go ahead.
Number two on our list is Joe Root, cricketer, age 33. The former England captain is one of the top batting talents of the last decade or so. Joe Root was born in Sheffield and represented his home county of Yorkshire before getting his first England call-up in 2012. He's already in 10th place in the list of all-time test run scorers, with plenty of potential to work his way up that list. Number three. Mark Labbett, or Labbett, is that how you pronounce it? I'm not sure. Professional quizzer, age 58. He's perhaps better known as The Beast from the long-running ITV quiz show.
Oh, yes. My brain went to Brian Jensen. I was like, what do you mean The Beast is a Sheffield United fan? What's going on here? But he's a former player. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
I should explain at this point that I've started, when we circulate it around the group chat, I don't do the description now, I'll just do the images, just do the faces. So it's a better indication for when the scores are being given. So obviously we don't have that for the podcast. But going back to the list, Mark Labbett, he was born in Devon. And by his own admission, he only started following the Blades in 2013. But he's been seen regularly at Bramall Lane and often tweets his support for the club, as well as mentioning them when it's his turn to be the chaser. Number four, Paul Heaton, age 61, musician and singer-songwriter. In the 1980s, he was the lead singer of the House Martins before going on to form the Beautiful South. More recently, he's recorded and performed with Jackie Abbott, who was also a vocalist with the Beautiful South from 1994 to 2000. The Sheffield connection comes from Paul Heaton's childhood. His family moved to the city when he was four, and although his older brothers became Wednesday fans, he opted to support United instead.
Yeah, interesting.
Number five is Dame Jessica Ennis-Hill, retired athlete, age 38. The multi-medal heptathlete was born in Sheffield, and of all her gold medals, the one she won at the 2012 London Olympics is probably the most memorable, earning her a British and Commonwealth record score of 6,955 points. She was also honoured with her very own gold postbox, which is located at Barker's Pool, which is a public square in Sheffield city centre. And then finally on the list is Joe Elliott, rock singer and songwriter, age 64. When the band Atomic Mass was formed in Sheffield in 1976, it didn't include Joe Elliott. He joined the band the following year, initially as a guitarist in November 1977, but soon became their lead singer. And it was at this time they decided to change the band's name to Def Leppard, as they now know. We have numerous multi-platinum hit singles and albums all around the world and are still active to this day, recording and touring well over 45 years later.
You know what? That's not a bad list, is that? I'm pretty impressed with that list. What do you think, George? Did you already put your score in the... I don't know if I saw your score in the group chat.
I believe I did. Mine was heavily swayed by Joe Root. Probably.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Maybe second only maybe to Alistair Cook as the best English batter ever. And also Paul Heaton, who I am a big fan of and will hopefully be seeing at Glastonbury this summer. So, yeah, those two.
Do you have Glastonbury tickets?
I do. So those two really raised the bar for me.
Yeah, they definitely did. Well, so what was the common consensus among our team, Dave? How did we all feel about this? What was the average score?
Well, how are we up sort of sevens and eights?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm not particularly bothered about moderating it any differently. I'm happy to stick with, what should we say, 7.5? Are you happy with that?
I think so.
There you go, Sheffield United. That is, I would say, a pretty solid, good Yorkshireman's celebrity list. Well done. Straight down there. You score 7.5. Hang fire till the end of the season and we will tell you where you finished in our league table. I've just committed Dave to doing a league table of final scores. Are we actually doing that this year, Dave?
You've committed for me to do it, do you mean?
Yes. Thanks, Dave. Like, it's just doesn't do enough, listeners. You know what I mean? It's like, we've got to give him something else to do. Yes, please. If not, I will do it. There you go. I do like dropping our team in that. Right, where are we? What are we doing next? Where is my script? It has gone missing. Community news, Dave. I think we've finished off everything we need to now. We've got quite a lot to update our listeners on and what's going on around the Claret's world generally. Do you want to kick us off with these?
Yeah, first of all, last weekend I went along to Burnley Library to see the launch of the BFC and Me collection of fan photos over the years for a brand new exhibition. Do go along and take a look if you haven't already done so, as well as the rest of the huge collection of books, programmes and other Burnley memorabilia that's already been amassed by the Claret's Collective project. Burnley Central Library, if you don't know, is located on Grimshaw Street. That's close to Burnley bus station, and visitors are always welcome. The project is housed downstairs and is available to view during normal library hours on Monday to Friday, and is also available on a Saturday when home games are on. You have special fan sessions for home games. That's usually 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. if it's a 3 o'clock kickoff. If you do go along, please tell Keith that Nonay never sent you. In terms of Fantasy Premier League, game week 34 is the biggest double game week of the season. Seven teams, that's Arsenal, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Everton, Liverpool, Sheffield United and Wolves, get two matches. But Spurs have a blank game week, curiously. They have a double in game week 35 instead. So you really need to make sure that you take advantage and get the most out of this opportunity if you're playing along in the FPL. This time the deadline will be 1:30 on Saturday afternoon, which is an hour and a half before the three Saturday 3 p.m. kickoffs. The game week will continue right through until next Thursday for the match between Brighton and Manchester City. As always, we wish green arrows and good luck to all our FPL managers.
Indeed. Thank you, Dave. The library exhibition, did you tell us last week that they've got a new photography exhibition in there now? Is that why I remember that?
BFC and Me is a collection of fan photos, so that's all up there and available.
I imagine that's impressive. Were there any that particularly stood out to you?
There's loads there going back. There's there's like a Wembley section. There's an Orient game.
Oh, how lovely!
There's loads there. So yeah, go and have a look at that.
Yeah, definitely will. I think. Did you say it was open on? It's not open on Sundays, is it?
No, they're not open. It's open normal library hours. They're available downstairs in the library. But that's, I think it's 9 till 5. Other than Mondays, a later opening. But for match days, they'd have like special sessions for like 3 hours before kick as well. 11 till 2, obviously, for the staff there want to get to the match themselves as well. So,
sure. Excellent stuff. Okay. And then a final bit of news, a little event that's happening this Sunday, Dave.
Yes, but a reminder that Burnley FC women's team, they are taking on Liverpool Feds. That's at Turf Moor this Sunday afternoon. I think it's one of two matches now. They've actually announced this week that the following match, I think that's the last home match of the season, is also going to be at Turf Moor.
Yes, I do know. They did tell us this at one of our earlier FAB meetings, that they were hoping to do two this season, but I think there was a couple of question marks around fixtures and whether or not they could make it work. So I'm delighted that they have actually been able to do that, and we are going to have two games on Turf Moor. I'll be going to both of them. Listeners, if you do want to come along, just do it. Our women's team are an absolute joy to watch. They're a young side with a brilliant manager who are really on the ascendancy in terms of aspirations and talent. They really do want to get themselves to the championship. They're in the league below the championship. They're in tier three at the moment. And yeah, go along and support them. You won't regret it. They're a really great side. Anything from you, trust-wise or community-wise, George, while we've got you on? Like, take advantage.
I suppose so. We've been talks.
Not that I want to trouble you, but okay.
No, we've been in talks with Burnley Football Club, and we're sending a paperwork in the coming days on the renewing the asset of community value on Turf Moor. So effectively, it's a safeguard in case of doomsday, that if anything went wrong and Turf Moor was threatened, the trust would have first refusal on purchasing.
Right,
Turf
of
Moor.
First refusal.
That's the one. But hopefully that day never comes. But just in case, we are renewing the license on that, which will be good for another 4 years. So that's the latest from us, and we'll have our annual general meeting in about 3 months' time.
Excellent. I imagine that many of our listeners, that is really welcome news about the asset license extension. So yeah, do keep an eye out. And if you don't, so if you're not a member of Claret's Trust, do drop onto their website to find out how you can become a member and subscribe to the emails. They do phenomenal work in terms of bridging that gap between owners and community and fans, and are a really integral part of the club. So, and we've got our very own George at the helm, the youngest ever Claret's chairman in history. So we're very proud of him for that. It was a wee little nipper when he first started, known and ever, and now look at him go with his 1938 military moustache.
That's saying, now look at the moustache, yeah.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Anyway, that is all we have time for, listeners. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for downloading and subscribing. Your support is very much appreciated. We would not be here without you. My thanks also go to everybody who has contributed to making this episode. Of course, the main man himself, Dave Roberts, who is the brainchild behind the preview show, and quite frankly, we are incredibly lucky to have him to prepare and produce such a fantastic piece of content. To my colleague George for coming on and giving us his thoughts ahead of that Sheffield United game. To our friends in Sheffield United for their opposition view. Producer Matt for getting this together. And to the whole Known and Ever team for their contributions throughout the week and throughout the full season. We will be back on Tuesday with the analysis show, looking back from hopefully what will be a comprehensive win away at Sheffield United and the Great Escape being back on again for about the 55th time this season. And then next weekend, we'll be back as usual on Friday night with your preview show, looking ahead to Manchester United. Is that next? Yes.
United away at Old Trafford, yeah.
I said that without the slightest bit of confidence, but yes, away at Old Trafford. Don't forget to subscribe and put your notifications on to not miss an episode of your favourite Claret's podcast. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the preview show brought to you by the Known and Ever podcast. Until next time. The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonanever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.